Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from Christ Jesus, the light that has come into the world. Amen. So what happens to us when we die? That's the focal point, believe it or not, of what started the movement known as the Reformation. See, the Catholic understanding at the time was that when you died, your soul went to purgatory. And purgatory is kind of like a waiting room, a cleaning room, where you would stay until all of the residual sin wore off of your body. That became important to a German monk and theologian named Martin Luther. Because near the town where he was the priest and professor, representatives of the Pope were selling indulgences. An indulgence is a certificate you bought from the church that for a contribution or an act, by the power of the Pope to forgive sins, would reduce the amount of time that somebody's soul had to spend in purgatory. In other words, you make a donation to the church and you get a certificate saying that whoever you bought the indulgence for had hundreds of years taken off their time in purgatory. They even had a marketing slogan. This is what it was translated into English. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul out of purgatory springs. All you need is like a little bit of background music and it's a nice jingle. So, how much do you love your mother or father or grandparents who have passed away and whose souls are in purgatory? If you've got a little extra cash, are you going to buy yourself a sweater so that you can get through the upcoming cold winter? Or will you buy an indulgence and free mom or dad or grandma or grandpa from hundreds of years of time in purgatory? Many of the people in Luther's area were sacrificing their own needs. They weren't buying food. They weren't buying wood to heat themselves for the winter so that they could buy indulgences to cut down the amount of time that their loved ones were spending in purgatory. How good was business? Have you ever heard of St. Michael's Basilica in Rome? Indulgences sold in the early 1500s in Germany alone built St. Michael's Basilica. Luther objected to the sale of indulgences, and he thought what it was a case of the people selling it, primarily Johann Tetzel, thought that Tetzel was abusing his power given to him by people who served the Pope. So Luther thought, if I just bring this to Rome's attention, if I let the Pope know about this, they're going to put a stop to this because my people aren't going to make it through the winter because they're spending all their money on indulgences rather than on what they need to survive. So Luther thought, if I bring this to their attention, if we have a debate about it and bring it to the light of day, this will stop. So he wrote up his arguments. He had 95 things he wanted to talk about. And so that as many people could know about it as possible, he wrote them and tacked them to the front door of the church on the day before the biggest, most attended worship service of the year, which was November 1st. All Saints' Day, because people would come to pray for the souls of the departed. So So the day before All Saints' Day, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 arguments, his 95 theses, he nailed to the church door in Wittenberg. And it's from that day that we mark the beginning of the Reformation, whose 500th anniversary we are celebrating this year. Now, it started as a complaint against a fellow employee of the church, spun so far out of control from Luther and the Catholic Church. Neither side would give one inch of theological ground to the other. In fact, like any good family fight, all kinds of stuff got brought into it. If you're having a really good family fight, all the dirty laundry is going to come out at some point. And that's what happened. What started as an argument about the sale of indulgences spun to include what is the role of clergy, what really happens in Holy Communion, which is more important, the tradition of the church or scripture, and on, and over 500 years, what started as a debate about selling indulgences led to the fracture of the Catholic Church and all other traditions, starting first with ours, the Lutheran tradition. Now, the good news is, over the past 50 years, the Lutheran traditions and the Catholic Church have talked more than they have in the previous 450 combined. And we're focusing on the things that we agree upon, which is so much. And even how close we are on those things that we're not going to agree on. What common ground can we find? But it all started over what happens to us when we die. The focal point of Luther's argument, out of the 95 theses, the focal point is thesis number 82. Why does not the Pope empty purgatory for the sake of holy love and the dire need of all the souls that are there? If the Pope has the power to forgive all sins and free everybody from bondage, why not just do it? And why charge for it? This was important to Luther because Luther lived in fear, in dread, that he was going to go to hell. That he would have a sin unforgiven, unconfessed, that would cause him to be damned. Because he and the world of his time, as well as the world of our time, likes to focus on God's condemnation and God's wrath rather than God's love. And this obsession that Luther had about being forgiven, it got worse when he became a priest. Because as a priest, he has access to the confessional on a daily or multiple times during the day use. He would confess the tiniest potential sin so that he could be forgiven and not condemned. He drove the other priests crazy so that he wouldn't be damned. He would go to confession because he said the word damn. It wasn't until Luther started to study the letter to the Romans that he started to understand that God's gift of grace is just that. It's a gift. It's not something that we earn. It's not what we do that's important. It's what God has already done through the life, death, and resurrection of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And while Luther learned this and focused on this out of the book out of the letter to the Romans, I think that the two passages that were read earlier tell the story just as well. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a member of the council of the church in Jerusalem, in the passage from John's Gospel. And we begin with what is probably one of the most well-known pieces of Scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." But I believe that the next verse, John 3:17, is just as important to us to understand. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Luther was afraid of God's wrath and punishment. It wasn't until he understood God's love that he realized we do not need to fear death. God loved and loves the world so much that God sent God's Son into the world, knowing he would be rejected, knowing he would be crucified. But Jesus came into the world so that it could be saved through him, not condemned by him. The last part of verse 17 also points out what goes into greater detail in the letter to the Ephesians. Jesus became a living, breathing man so that the world might be saved through him. His mission was and is to save the world. The world is saved through him, through what he did. Our individual salvation, the determination of our souls, is way too important for God to leave it up to us, because we'd mess it up. Instead, we are saved through Christ, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. In the letter to the Ephesians, we hear that God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him. Out of love, God ignored our sins and our trespasses, erasing them from existence. These faults and failures should leave us dead, without hope of salvation or life after our death. But because God is rich in mercy, we are joined with Christ, seen as sinless, without fault, and are saved, are raised up just as Jesus was. It's clear that we in the world are saved through the works that Jesus has done. Our works, both good and bad, do not save us, nor do they condemn us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us to be, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. By grace, by the grace of God, we are saved. We are saved, forgiven, found faultless because of the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, because he went to the cross to suffer and die. He did this out of love, to show us that we cannot do anything to lose God's love, not even killing the Son of God. Our forgiveness has nothing to do with us, but has everything to do with God and God's love for us. It's a gift. A gift isn't earned. It isn't given out of obligation. It is an expression of love. And God loves the world so much that God gave God's Son to us and forgives us for all the times we failed and fell short of responding to that love. The good that we do, the ways that we share God's love with others, come not to earn God's love or mercy, but in response to that gift of grace. We are what he made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are made in the image of God, to do God's work in the world with our hands. We have been blessed to be a blessing to others. We are forgiven so that we can give of ourselves to those in need. We have been saved so that we can serve a hurting world. So what happens to us when we die? We have been promised to be seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. To be there, we don't have to purchase forgiveness. It's already been given to us. And that's an understanding that even after 500 years of division, both Lutherans and Catholics can agree. God loves the world and sent Jesus, through whom the world and us are saved by the grace of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.